Hey, I'm Elissa Nicole Trust, an actor and writer based in New York City.
I'm Lauren Schaffel, an actor and producer also living in New York City.
And we are Positive Creativity Podcast.
Positive Creativity is a podcast where we speak with artists from all disciplines about how they got their start, what's inspiring them, and how they stay positive in the entertainment industry. We speak with artists based in New York, LA, and beyond.
Our goal is to give creative artists a platform to share their experiences and talk about their work. We hope that our listeners will enjoy the insights, stories, and perspectives from a diverse group of artists from all sides of the industry. Thanks for listening. We're so excited to share the first guest of season four, Aaliyah Rogers, an actress from Houston, Texas, currently living in LA. She found her love for acting as a child living in New York City, and that passion has never left. Aaliyah is vehement about telling diverse stories and hopes to continue to make her mark on the film industry. We loved speaking with Aaliyah. She is a force to be reckoned with, and she has such an interesting story of studying engineering in college before deciding to pursue acting professionally. And we talked about having realistic expectations going into a career in the arts and how having a good mindset shift can be a huge asset in this business. We also talked about how she stays positive in the industry, which is something that will come up a lot more this season. We just adore her and her story, and we're so excited about all the momentum she's having in her career, and we can't wait for you to listen. So enjoy.
Welcome, Aaliyah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to speak to you guys today. Lauren and I have been friends for 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. I love your podcast, and I think what you're doing is great, having a creative outlet. So I'm very honored and excited to speak to you both today.
We are really excited to have you. You both know each other from the MN Acting Studio, right?
Yes, yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. We met the start of really everything, right? Like May, maybe of 2020 on Zoom in Matt Newton's masterclass.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's how we met, our first class together. For some reason, I feel like it was like we met earlier than that, because we didn't meet at the Christmas party, did we?
Oh, yeah. I only joined the studio during the pandemic, so that May. But yeah, there were some other ways we bonded. I feel like maybe we were kind of like in each other's worlds even before Matt's class. And like, we can decide whether or not we'll keep this on the podcast or not, but like, we had the same reps for a while. We had some similar interesting experiences with those reps.
Yeah. It was great to find you. A true blessing to like feel like I had somebody else to help navigate like this crazy business. And us having the same reps really was helpful, because we could kind of like talk about the same things and have the same goals and have the same like experiences that not everybody else has.
Right.
Truth.
Right. Yeah, that's so important in this biz.
Yes. And it was that crazy thing of, after being on a class together on Zoom for a year, then finally meeting up for lunch in person. I was like, whoa, you're real.
Oh, yes. Gosh, COVID, so awesome. It seems so crazy. But yeah, we were on a class for so long, and we had like kind of spent like 3 or 4 hours throughout the day with each other. And then when I got back to New York City, because I was in Texas during the rough part of COVID that was going on in New York City, I was like, well, Lauren, we got to hang out. Like, I need to know that you're real.
Oh my gosh. That's right. I forgot you were in Texas during all of that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I left I was working at a restaurant in New York City, And then I think like the week that they shut everything down, I think I worked that Saturday and then they shut everything down Monday. And then I left to Texas maybe 2 weeks later. It was just way too locked down for me to be able to stay in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also, it must have been hard in New York at that time. I went to Long Island, so not quite as far, but it was so nice to be able to drive a car and
yes.
walk outside. I think here, like being stuck in those tiny apartments, that's yeah. I mean, you and Eric did it, Lauren, but like, I think that's ooh. Tough.
Yeah.
It was, let's just say, it would have been nice to get out of the city for some of that time. It was a ghost town here.
Yeah.
It was very eerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very weird. And like I had two roommates and so they both left and then it was just me. And then I was like, well, it's going to hang out in my boyfriend's house. But then once it started being like, we couldn't really go outside. And like you said, like the tiny apartments, I would just like rather go to my mom's, you know, big house in Texas and like at least be yeah. able to like, you know, walk outside and have space, you know. So I'm very lucky and fortunate that I had the opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
So Aaliyah, we always start by asking this larger question on our podcast. What is currently inspiring you?
Oh man, I thought about this question and I thought about it really hard. Yeah, it's like, it's so many things and it's constantly changing and evolving. I recently watched King Richard. I went to see a screening here in LA and Will Smith was there and the two girls that play Venus and Serena. And it was just an amazing movie, an inspiring movie about like not giving up on your dreams and just having their father there like behind them reminded me of my dad. And then also like the Black experience that people have in this country and kind of how like we navigate that and like persevere. And it was just like really beautiful. And then hearing like Will Smith kind of talk about his process of like his process of turning into the character. That was not the best phrase that I wanted to use, but his process of doing that was just so awesome to hear. You know, like I grew up on Will Smith and hearing him talk about the accent that he was working on and the mannerisms, how he stood, how he walked, studying tape for hours, and he did a phenomenal job. So it was just really cool to hear someone that inspires me talk about their process of creating a character, being that character and emulating that character. So currently that's like fresh in my mind of like things that inspire me and things that I continue to want to do in my own career when I tackle, you know, these characters. So that's top of mind. There's so many things, but that's the first one.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome that you were able to go and that he was there. I love when it's the screenings that way with actors who are actually in the film and you get to really hear from them. I just also, while you were speaking about King Richard, I was like, I haven't been to a movie in so long. And I just Googled and I was like, ooh, it's in theaters, but it's also on HBO Max.
It is. Makes it easy.
So I'm like, I might have a movie night tonight. That sounds...
Such a good film.
Ooh, I want to see that too. Yeah, that's a really cool experience. Getting to hear an actor you admire talk about their process. I mean, that's the dream, right? That's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was trying my hardest not to like geek out like, that's Will Smith. That's Will Smith right there. Obviously, it's an audience full of people, but he was just as cool as my 9-year-old self that was screaming on the inside wanted him to be. And like I said, like hearing him talk about what he envisioned for his career and this character and how he embodied it was just really, really awesome. And then there's like little nuggets in the movie that inspire you to like just like be your best and like don't give up and like having that self-confidence that sometimes is really hard to have in this industry of like no's. but having someone in your corner, which the movie is about their dad, like being there and encouraging them constantly to be confident and not waver on that was really awesome to see. And it just made me think, you know, just to keep pushing. It was a really great movie. It did what needed to be done.
Wow. That's beautiful and beautifully said. And I just had this vision while you were talking. I was like, one day you will be on set with Will Smith and you will tell him, I saw you in this talk back for King Richard. And I remember the things that you said and how, I don't know. I very clearly see that happening. That'd be so cool.
I would love that. I'm a huge fan and would love to, like, there's certain people from the 90s that like have inspired me in general. And Will Smith is just one of those people that his movies like Independence Day and Men in Black and all of those, even Wild Wild West, which he always talks about as like not a good movie. I loved it. So was a big fan at 9.
Yeah, that really was. That was a great movie.
I know. He was making a joke about it at the talk back. And I was like, what do you mean? That was such a good movie.
Gosh, that's so funny. I'm sure every actor has that project where they're like, yes. Oh, this one, like, oh, please don't let my children watch this movie.
Yeah. Some of my very early projects, I would say that I wouldn't want those to ever be unearthed and seen.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Relatable. So, Aaliyah, what is your story of becoming an actress? How did you know this was something that you wanted to do with your life?
It's interesting because I didn't know this is what I wanted to do with my life. I just always thought it was fun. I have always been in plays. Like, there's a recital from when I lived in New York, and we did this community play, and my parents have this video of me in it. I don't remember anything, but I was like the lead, and it's like just kind of always been in my like memories of me being on stage and like kind of working. So all throughout like grade school and elementary school and even high school, I always did theater. I did theater all throughout, and I loved it. And it was fun. But once I graduated high school, I was like, okay, like that was a hobby. And like, we need to focus on like what you're going to pursue, like who you're going to be. And that was engineering. And so I went to college to become a chemical engineer. And I went through like my first year of college and everything was fine. But I found that I was missing that creative outlet. I'd kind of had it my whole life. So not having theater and not doing a theater class was really an interesting change, which kind of made me not like college and trying like just being, I went to college when I was 17, like trying to like figure out what do I want to do? So that first year was a very interesting experience. And even then, I just knew I wanted to do theater because I was used to it. So in my second year, when I transferred back to the University of Houston, I was just like, well, we'll just take some more theater classes and we'll go from there. And I was still doing engineering. I actually switched my degree to math a couple of years later, but I just did theater and at U of H and did a couple of plays and, you know, it was still just like a side gig. And then someone recommended me to do TV and film classes. And I had been on doing stage for so long. So I was just like, I was skeptical. I was like, I don't know. You know how theater heads are. They're just like, no, that's not really acting. Like, that's, you know, it's a little different. Like, I'm a real actor. But it was nothing I had never ever done before. So I wanted to try it. And I took this these acting classes at 19 at Deke Anderson Studio in Houston. And I met a bunch of people that were all pursuing the same thing. And I got my agency, like, I think within 6 months. At his acting class, and I just had my regional agent kind of ever since. Pastor Ubazmi down in Houston, and I've been with him since I was 19. So,
wow,
Mm-hmm. Goodness. That speaks to the testament of your talent and your just quality of work. Within 6 months of taking a TV and film class, you were able to find a representation. I mean, that's huge.
It's pretty wild. I was shocked that, because my coach was just like, you're great and you need to have representation. And I was like, oh, okay. Because again, I was still thinking like, I'm just doing this because I enjoy it. I don't necessarily see myself as pursuing it. It was just, I want to continue having this creative outlet. And when he was pushing me to sign with them or go interview with them, do a monologue, put it on tape, that's kind of when it became real. And I kind of realized I did want it and I did want to pursue this. It could be like the whole, like, just seeking approval type thing that we deal with as actors, but mm-hmm. you know, like, I just want someone to say yes. It just becomes like, oh, okay, like, cool. I would love for them to sign me. And they did. And I actually sucked. My first audition ever is like the worst audition. Oh gosh, we're so bad. It was for a Johnson Space Center Houston commercial. And that was so embarrassing. And it was my first audition. I was so nervous. And I had this script in my hand to like help me. And he has the camera there. And it's like, it's very non-union. So it's very like, just like, here, this room, you know, let's do this audition. And now the auditioning process is so weird as it is. So coming into that was just like really nerve-wracking. And like the paper in my hand was shaking beyond belief, like rattling, like I had a tambourine in my hand. I could not stop shaking. And so he's just like, okay, like, Aaliyah, you know, let's go ahead and start. And I said the first line and then I like froze up. I felt like I was having like a hot flash or something. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I'm just, let me restart. It's like, okay. And so I start reading it again, but it's so dry. Like, I'm just like reading it in the flattest way, trying not to look in the camera because it's just all over the place. And he literally like put his head down in his hand. I will never forget it. Like, he put his head down and he was just like, oh, like, and I felt so bad. And I left the audition and I'm like calling my mom crying. I'm like 19, so I'm still a child. And I'm like, Mom, I don't know what I'm doing. And she gave me the most wonderful advice. She was just like, well, honey, like, do you want to do this? And if you want to do this, you don't have time to be nervous. You have to find a way to channel that energy into something else. And that was the best advice I've ever had. And I don't get nervous anymore. I mean, there's the usual nerves, but it's nothing like that. Like, once I'm in it, I'm in it and the nerves are gone and I'm not shaking a paper in my hand.
Yeah. Wow. Oh,
that's such wonderful advice.
Yeah. Yeah. She really helped me because I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, how could I mess it up? That was my first audition. She was just like, do you want to do this? Like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to force yourself to do something you don't want to do. And I was like, no, I want to do it. And she's like, okay, well, you need to find a new way to channel that nervous energy into something else. And it can't be feeling nervous. And I worked on that. And like, I literally hear her every time I start to get nervous before an audition, which we don't do in person anymore. But I always hear my mom being like, you don't have time for nerves. And that's like what I tell myself is, you don't have time to be nervous. You don't have time to be nervous. And it just calms me down and I can focus on being the character. So,
yeah. Wow. That's so awesome to have. Yeah. Like a go-to like mantra almost. Right? Yeah. Like, that's really a really powerful tool to have in your arsenal as an actor. And yeah, I mean, the story, everybody I feel like has a story like that. Worst audition or the worst audition, that's so relatable. And it's funny, right? In the moment, it feels like the end of the world. But we look back now and we're like, oh, poor poor baby actors we were. We didn't had no idea what we were doing.
No clue.
There are like certain auditions with certain people where I think now I hope they don't remember me. Like I hope that person doesn't remember that audition from so many years, and they probably don't, they honestly, don't. Which is a good thing. But yeah, it's so relatable. Oh my god. Okay, so you were in Houston, then you moved to New York, and you recently moved to LA. Is this accurate?
Yeah, I had an interesting journey even moving to New York. But my family's from New York City, as I mentioned earlier. That's like where I was born, and we left when I was pretty young. And so my grandparents and my cousins and everyone has always lived in the city, and I used to come for the summer. So I had always desired living in New York City. And when I graduated college, I was like trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I had a math degree, and I knew then that acting is what I wanted to do. And so shortly after I graduated, I booked the Originals on the CW. And that was my first time being like on a set, on a network or anything. And it was an awesome experience. And my co-star, Carolyn Pratt, she was like, oh, I trained with Anthony Avison and I swear by him. And Carolyn Pratt has had a wonderful career. I think she was in She's All That. You might have to cut that out if it's wrong, but I think she was in that film, and she's just had a wonderful, wonderful career. So hearing her tell me like I should train with Anthony Avison just pushed me to like quit my job, and I quit my little bank job and I moved to New York at 24, and I got accepted into Anthony's class and I trained with him. And I just like had these like very young 20 expectations that like everything was going to work out. Like I quit everything. I moved to New York. It's the greatest city in the world. I got into the acting school. I'm going to get an agent. Da, 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 da. And I got the first two things and nothing else happened after that. I could not get an agent to save my life. I could not get any representation. Everybody was mean. I did so many one-on-one classes and monologues and everything. And thank goodness I was in Anthony's class to provide that why I love doing what I'm doing. Because he really instilled that in me and reminded me like, this is why I do what I do. And I think a lot of that had to do with us having like stage. We didn't really do like TV film type of stuff. It was stage. And that reminded me and instilled in me that while this business can be really awful and rejecting, why I enjoyed doing it was still present. Even though I was failing left and right. I was feeling very dejected. I was running out of money and I was sleeping on a couch at my uncle's house in the Bronx. And it was just feeling just like it wasn't working the way that I thought that it was. The expectations I had were just not happening. And so I went home with my tail between my legs and I was like, okay, maybe this wasn't it. Maybe you're done. And I went and I got a regular job and I worked in corporate America for like 3 years almost. And I made a lot of money and it was cool. It wasn't bad. I traveled the world. I did a lot of solo trips and, I just kind of let it go, but I still missed it. I was falling into like bouts of like depression and things and not really understanding why, because I had all of this money and I was traveling more than I ever was. I was seeing the world, but something was still not satisfying me. And that's when I realized I was acting that I wasn't doing. And I went on a solo trip to Italy for my 27th birthday. And while I was there, it was like, I always call it my eat, pray, love trip. And it was just like, if you're unhappy with your life, you have to change it. You have to do something. You have to like fix what you want. You can't keep, you're going to go crazy at this job that you I don't want to say I hated it because I did a really good job. It just wasn't for me. I didn't love it. Like, and it just wasn't something that I could see myself doing. And so I went back to New York City. I tried it again and I was like, you're going to fail again. And that's okay. And I moved back at 27 28. I signed with a manager this time. I did it before I got there. And it was the best thing that I could have done. And it's like that mindset switch that I needed, that failing very early on, the having these expectations that were completely blown up in front of my face. I needed that to know that this wasn't going to be easy, and that if I was going to do it again, that I really, really was going to pursue it with my all and expect to fail, not expect to just have this like amazing, you know, Hollywood story life that was going to come together.
I mean, what an amazing story. And it's really interesting. I think that, you know, when you say like you failed, that story of you failing, you were not failing. Everything you were experiencing was extremely normal. The hustle, the early career thing, the like trying to get auditions when you don't have good rep, or I can't remember which boy you got had the rep, like, but so sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, but like that whole hustle of like moving to New York and trying to kind of start your career is very, very difficult and very disheartening. And you were not failing. You just, like you said, you just didn't have a realistic view of what a career as an actor in New York actually looks like. You had this dream and this, you know, this pipe dream that we all have. And I love that you, at different points in your life, took yourself out of it and always found your way back, because this is so clearly what you're meant to do. Like, not just the corporate job, but also when you were in college, you started off studying something different, and then you were like, no, this is what I want to do. And it's, I think it's really admirable when people leave the corporate world, because it is very easy to get caught up in the, you know, golden handcuffs of it all. So nice to have like the steady paycheck, and like, I definitely can relate, like the steady paycheck and the, you know, money in the bank account, which is tough. But I love that whole story and just how like so clearly you are on this path that is meant for you.
Thank you. That's such a nice thing to say. And you were completely right, by the way. Yeah, I came here and came to New York City and could not get an audition. I was at Ripley Greer Studio, like doing everything. Like, I didn't know anything about like the union, and that like it was like union auditions, and they would go through those people first, and then anyone else that could possibly be here, you know, that could try out for these roles. It was like, it was just all a very crazy and, like you said, hustling experience of just realizing like the expectations I thought, and then like, this is a lot harder than anyone says online.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Totally. Nobody really, there's no like, I don't know, I can't think of any articles or real like journals or books or videos that really talk about what an actor's day-to-day life is like. I can think of parodies of it and, I don't know, sketches you see on like SNL, but there's never, nobody really knows what goes on in between, you know. Yes. The auditions and the holds and the rejections, all of it is just very, whew, it's a lot. And I also just, something that really struck me, first of all, going back for a second, I had no idea that you had a degree in math, or that you had studied chemical engineering. That just blew my freaking mind. 'Cause it's so rare to see a successful artist who really, I don't know, has talents in both sides of their brains, if that makes sense, you know, like, so often you see like one or the other, and it's a rare, beautiful thing to hear about someone who is equally brilliant at both. And I think that I've never realized it before, but that adds to your strength and your power as an artist. I'm sure of it, having both of those skills. And then something else you said, kind of this coming back to New York at 27 and this change in mindset of expecting to fail. There's something about that. I feel like it's really a key to something that all artists can crack open. And even Matt talks about it a lot in his class, this idea of like coming in ready to play and fail big. Yeah, and when you like let yourself kind of fail big into that unknown, that's the only moment when things can really start to change and happen. But I think a lot of us as artists have this perfectionist tendency. I know myself for sure, that it's so scary to do that. It's so much easier to like try to get things right. Right. And like take all the right steps or make all the right choices on a scene or, you know, do what you think the casting director or the directors or the agents or whoever it is want to see. So it's really cool to see that that change in mindset is what really started to take things to another level for you career wise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. And I think I needed that type of, mindset going into it the second time when I came to New York was like, you need to, I'm a planner. And I think that has to do with like my math major type of brain, like A plus B equals C. So if you want the C outcome, we need to figure out A and B and how we're going to get there. And what does that look like? And so it was like, okay, get new headshots. Okay. Secure a manager. Got it. Done. And then I took the leap again, quit my job and moved within, I think my manager signed me and I came to New York to do new headshots with Jeffrey Mosier in August. It was like my birthday. And then he recommended me for a manager and I signed with her in September. I quit my job and moved to New York City in October. And so it was just like, you know, that type of like, take the leap or don't take the leap. Like you've been planning this whole year for all of this and like prepping yourself that you knew you were going to do this, but like having that like 60 day turnaround to like make the decision. And it was, like you said, the best thing that could have happened to me. Like I wound up booking my first guest star with FBI like for like March. So I moved in like October. So like I booked that in March and then I booked another show. It was like a co-star, but my co-star got written out, so that was like really heartbreaking. Oh. Yeah, it was really heartbreaking. But that casting director Jessica Daniels remembered me, and I had another audition for the same show, which was wound up being Wu-Tang, and I booked that, so it came back around, and it just kind of just like really, really worked out, and then like COVID hit and all the momentum was like, wait, no.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So this just kind of blew my mind. So you came back to New York and you said, you know what? I know I'm going to fail, or I know it's going to be hard, but I'm ready for it. I'm doing it. I'm committing to this. And then you actually didn't fail. You were so successful. That's so cool. And
that's
total, that's mindset shift.
Magic of it.
Yeah, that is the magic. Oh, okay. That's awesome. Yeah, that's, oh gosh, I know that so many people on our podcast have talked about that feeling of like you're gaining momentum. And then mm-hmm. COVID just stopped everything. Mm-hmm. So then at what point did you move to LA?
So in the middle of COVID, I kind of realized that while I had some success, it wasn't exactly in the trajectory that I had planned. Remember, A plus B equals C, and B was just like very stagnant and it was not working as far as like the plan that I had for myself. And so it was either stay in this and hope that it gets better or make a change. And there was a few people in my life, Lauren being one of them, and my other friend, Nicholas Velez, that really encouraged me to like get out of my situation or figure out how to like get to the goals that I wanted to. And my friend, Nick, is like one of the greatest actors I've met when it comes to like advocating for yourself, going after what you want. And it's like, I needed that. I needed the two of them in my life to tell me that everything is going to be okay. We're in this together. We can figure this out. We're all kind of going through this like weird transitionary like Like, we all have the same type of goal. And sometimes you are in a situation where you're just so grateful to be there, right? Like, I had given up so much and I was having success, but it wasn't enough for me. And some people would say, like, why would you do that? Like, you know, you should just be grateful. And so there's all those thoughts in my mind, but like, A plus B equals C. I know what I want. And it wasn't that. And so I ended my relationship with my manager and my agent, and I left New York. And I moved back to Houston to kind of figure things out on like what was next. But I wasn't nervous or worried. And it didn't feel like a failure this time. It felt like a chapter closing. Like, thank you. That was great, New York City. I appreciate it. But I think the chapter here is done and I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And so it didn't feel like I was going home to Texas to, you know, like I didn't do it again. Like, no, it just felt like I was accepting that this part and this journey is closed and it's time for a new one. And I signed with a new management company in LA. And that was like where things just hit off. I signed with her in November of 2020, sometime around there. And she has been the most amazing person that has come into my life and is exactly the type of management relationship that I've always wanted. And the auditions are totally different. Before was having like one series regular for the whole year. And with her, I already had three. And then two of those I got to producer session and a chemistry read. And that was within like literally the same month of like us starting to work together. And that just affirmed that I made the right choice. It's so hard to take a leap of faith and to leave something that is just not working. And we're closing a chapter on something that you feel is done. Like, it's so hard to do that. But within, like I said, with signing with this new manager and leaving New York City and going home, it just aligned, right? It just worked out.
That is so, like, so amazing and beautiful. And it's just kind of... it's kind of flashing me back to some of the conversations that we had before you left New York. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to you and I was like, Aaliyah, you are going to get out of New York City. You're going to move to LA. Cause you were like, that's where I want to go. I was like, yeah, you're going to go there and you're going to blow up. And now hearing you talk about how it has blown up, I was like, oh my gosh, I knew it. I think sometimes it's hard for us to be that voice for ourselves. It's very easy to kind of, I don't know, have a more narrow-minded view of what we're capable of. And sometimes it takes a friend or a rep or a support, like an outside voice to, I don't know, like you were describing with Nick as well, having those extra people just saying, no, it's going to work out. But for me, there was no doubt in my mind. I was like, you are so freaking talented. I would watch you come on Zoom every week and just bring your all. And even if it was one of the days where it's like, okay, we're coming here and we're failing big and this is like out of the comfort zone, it was still like, oh my God, she did it. She freaking did it. I just knew it. And I just, I'm so happy for you and just like so proud to just see that. I was like, oh my God, I was right. I knew she was going to blow up. She did it. Not surprised at all.
Thank you, Lauren. That's really sweet. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Alyssa. I'm sorry.
No, you go. I was just saying I love that. You go.
Oh, no, I was just saying that like I appreciate your friendship so much. And like that period of time in my life, those months where I left New York, came to Houston, and I stayed for like a couple months, and then I went back to New York to work, and I was like working in the restaurant, and again, B was not working. I was like falling into another bout of depression, and like wondering at some points, like, did I really want to do this? Like that There was just like, the amount of like control I could have over my career was feeling like it was slipping further and further away from me. And I went into this feeling like I had full control. And at some point it just started to slip and I had to gain that back and like pursue just what I wanted to do. If it's not working, it's not working. I was okay like leaving that situation and leaving New York and just like, you know what, we'll be fine. We'll find some, like, you've done this before and you're in a better position than you were the first time you left New York City.
Well, it's like at that point, it's like, what do you have to lose? You know,
right?
Like, you've been through worse before. Yes. You like know you can handle it and you just freaking did it.
Yes, exactly. 1000%.
And so, you know, obviously one of the big things for you was signing with an excellent manager, right? Somebody that you have a great relationship with that sees you the way you see yourself, that's sending you out for different types of roles that you are now thriving in, obviously, because you're booking them. But in addition to that, what do you think it is about LA that made it so that you could finally kind of get to the point where you knew you belonged that just kind of wasn't working in New York? Does that question make any sense?
It does. I think it's a lot of like inner peace. I talked a lot about like when I left New York, I was at peace with everything. I knew that I was making the right decision. I also have always wanted to live in LA. I've always wanted to move here and it just didn't work out. Like there was just all these other factors and it just wasn't the right time. So I knew finally that it was the right time, that things were aligned. I was not ready to move to New York, move to LA at 19. I wasn't ready to move to New York at 24, 23, or however young I was. And so like that pivotal moment in my life at 27, where it was like I grew up, I guess, like the fairy tale lenses came off of my eyes and it was like, let's get down to business. Like that switch kind of prepared me for, you're ready to go back to New York. And now you did New York, you accomplished it. And now you're ready to move to LA. And moving here, it felt like I was always supposed to be here. It felt like I was always supposed to get to this point. So being here just felt very, very normal. And I didn't move immediately. When I signed with my manager, she was kind of like, yeah, you know, things are still remote and virtual. So like, if anything comes up, we'll, you know, you'll be ready to move. And so I had planned to move, I think May, June, sometime around there. And I booked with my Texas agent, the BET Sacrifice show in February of this year. And so I filmed that. And then a month later, I booked Insecure and I had to come here and like, they did not know that I was in Texas. So I had to like fly out that night once I got the approval that I was booked for it. And then I got back from shooting Insecure and I was like, okay, things are like kind of heating up. I need to make the move. Like it's really calling me. I had an audition for this movie called The Valet. It might be Valet or The Valet. I got through to a director session and everything went really well. And I was like, wow, 3 bookings in like 3 months. This is crazy. And so I did the director session. My manager was like, okay, they're making a decision. Like, I need you to be ready to jump on a plane like in seconds to get here so that you can COVID test. And I was like packing my bags and getting ready. But she did have to tell them that I would like be delayed because I wasn't going to be there in time. And so I did not book that role because I was not in LA. And And hearing that, it didn't make me cry in the way that I thought that I would be, because it's hard enough just getting in the room. But losing an opportunity because I wasn't in LA was just like, all right, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, what I love about your answer is that I don't know what I expected, but I did expect you to answer with something external. And it was all about internal and your inner peace and your inner mental state, which is so cool. So cool. And yeah, by the time I know, like once you lose out on an opportunity because you're not in the city, it's like, okay, now it's time to get there.
Yeah. Now it's time to go. Okay. Got it. Got it. I'll be right there.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about that. And I remember my heart was breaking for you. I was like, no, but yeah, it's like the sign from the universe. It's time.
Yeah, it's time. I was just like, okay. I was bummed, but it wasn't like an excruciating, heartbreaking thing. It was just like, okay, like you need to move. And I moved May 1st. I moved into my apartment. I think we went there in April to look at places, and we found a place and moved in. So I've been here since May now, and it's been pretty awesome. It's like I said, I'm right where I'm meant to be at the right time.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, what do you think is maybe different for you, kind of the experience of being in LA, being in the industry in LA versus what it was like in New York or in Texas?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think that there's like a interesting element because in New York City, I love the hustle and bustle of auditioning. Like, you hop on the 4 train, you go down to Fulton Street, you go see Bowling Misha, then you go to Chelsea Pierce, you go see Jonathan Strauss' office. Like, there was just like I can do 3 or 4 auditions in one day and knock it out. And it was a great day. And in LA, like, I haven't experienced that mainly because things are still through COVID and everything is virtual. But I will say that I feel like it will be difficult just getting around the city and getting to the different casting offices and driving around. Like, I feel like New York is just a better place to have that hustle and bustle of auditioning where it actually is possible for you to do 3 or 4 auditions in one day. And here would just be like, there's offices in freaking Santa Monica and you know, Burbank. And it's just like, it's with the traffic, it's just damn near impossible. So I feel like I've been very lucky that things are still virtual and I can tape in my home self-tape setup. And I've got like a good number of friends that are also doing the same thing. So the landscape has changed, I think. But working in LA is different to me. I think it's the studio lots.
Yeah.
the studio lots make things seem very like you are in the business and you are working, and there are so many different shows filming on the same studio lot and movies, and you just see when I was filming Grand Crew, they had like How I Met Your Father. They had that on the set. They had the Godfather series. And also Adele was like shooting her music video there. So it was just so much things going on that I was like, whoa, like this is really a production town. And it feels that way, even just walking around the Sony lot and seeing like all of the sets or the Universal lot or the Paramount studio, like you just feel like there's so much creation going on. And in New York City, it was like, they just kind of had the warehouse studios in Brooklyn,
right?
You know? Right. And you know, it just doesn't feel as like how it feels here. It just feels very, very, you are in the biz.
Yeah. Wow. As you were, that's so true. I've never really thought about that before, but like hearing you talk about the studio lots took me right back in time to being a kid working like at CBS Radford, and like, yeah, the experience of driving up to the gates and you get, mm-hmm, your pass and you like, mm-hmm, have your spot and your like actual dressing room. Mm-hmm. It's such, you're right. And then you like walk into the soundstage is not the right word. My brain is blanking. Maybe it is
I was like, yeah, the stages. We'll just call them the stages.
Yeah, the stages. Right. It's such a, you're right, it is such a different experience. And you, mm-hmm. yeah, I guess that like requires a certain level of kind of groundedness and preparation, yes. and you have to be like ready for that, which, yeah, I feel like all your prior experiences led you to be ready for that.
Yeah,
it's not for everybody to just walk into a huge space surrounded by, you know, hundreds of crew members and director and PAs, and you're like, ooh, wow, it's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot. There's so many different things shooting at the same time, and like, you just feel like a kid in a candy store that you can just walk around, and like, obviously you can't go on every stage, but you are able to just kind of see so many different people working creatively on so many different projects. And it's just a really cool feeling to be a part of that. To be part of these hundreds of people creating this art. It's really different than I had ever experienced in New York.
That's really awesome. Really awesome. So one of the things we wanted to talk about with you is, how do you stay positive and stay peaceful in this industry that is so tough and so disheartening and is filled with daily anxieties? What is it that you do to, you know, to just take care of yourself and your mental health?
Yeah, it's super important. It's really, really, we have the hardest job, in my opinion, besides new moms, because being a stay-at-home mom is really difficult. I'm not one, but that seems like a job that would rival acting. We have a really, really hard job, and people don't see that or recognize it. They see all of the success, right? They see, oh, you're on this, and wow, you're doing it, and they don't see how taxing it is and how many no's you get. I'm a very like anal person, so I keep a spreadsheet of all of my auditions, and so out of like the 70 auditions I've had this year, I've booked 3 projects, which is great. But if you look at my 2020 sheet or my 2019 sheet, definitely less. But the ratio is like, I didn't book anything in 2020. And like, I booked 2 things in 2019, but the auditions died out for the like second half of the year. And that was it. So it's like, I personally like to see, that's one of the things I do. I keep a spreadsheet of my auditions, and not to be like super crazy, but mainly because I like to see my progress. It really helps me to see where I came from and where I'm going. Who am I auditioning for? Who am I auditioning for multiple times? What studios I'm auditioning for, like, you know, Stars or Hulu or Netflix, or how many times I'm auditioning for that. The types of roles are different. And having that visual element of seeing my progress is really helpful. I also go to therapy weekly. My therapist single-handedly got me through 2020, and that experience of like getting out of my situation and like coming to peace in terms with closing the chapter, that was something that he was constantly reminding me that it's not the end. It is the end of this chapter, and you are just moving to another phase. Like, you are just journeying forward. And having a space where I can be vulnerable and cry and be mad that I didn't hear back from an audition, and I don't have to dump that on my boyfriend, who doesn't necessarily understand, you know, what we go through and the anxiety. It's also my friends. Like, Lauren is one of the people that I like a text probably too much.
Don't worry.
I hit her up so much. There was a time earlier this year that I was up for a series regular, and it was the closest I've ever gotten in my life. And it came down to me and one other person, and it was something, a project that I loved so much and was so happy about. And I had a chemistry read, and the casting director loved me. Everything was there, and it felt like this could be it. and it wasn't. And I didn't get it. And like Lauren and Nick were the two people that I was just like texting constantly, going through this anxiety, because I it was just really, really, really hard to see like your dream, like, you know, right there. And then it just kind of being like, it's not your time yet, not yet. Yeah, so friends, therapy, and for me personally, keeping like track of my progress, goals, where you are, where you were, and so that I can plan for next year and create that vision board of like, okay, so you've auditioned for this and this, and you've been to this casting office, like, what do you want for next year? What do you want to see? So like keeping track of that, or like, is something that I do to keep my mental peace.
Wow. This is so inspiring. Seriously, just because, yeah, like hardcore relatable. This business really can be heartbreaking in so many ways. But like hearing some of these tools that you have, this is inspiring me. I'm like, all right, mental notes, audition logs sound like a very good thing. And yeah, the support of a community of those friends, those people. By the way, you can never text me too much. There are no limits ever. And likewise, I've texted you many a time and Alyssa being like, the world is falling apart. I have no auditions. Like, who the fuck cares in the long run of things? But when you're in it, when you're in that place, you need those people to have your back. So never, never have to apologize or feel like it's too much here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it is interesting to me too how different people are, because I also have an audition log, not quite a spreadsheet, but I have a Google form that I just, like, I have the link and I can fill it out on mobile. And I, if, of course, I can open it up into a Google sheet, I think, but I would never do that. I never actually look at the content of it, because it would make me so anxious and it would make me so sad to see how few auditions I've had or how few I've booked. And like, but I also know that I kind of want to have the information, because like, I want to be able to look back and be like, I think I auditioned for that person before, and like search their name and then see, oh yeah, I totally did. And it was for this project, or, and I did this, let's say it's theater, like I did this monologue for them, so I'm not going to do that again. So yeah. I don't know, but it's funny that for you, that's something that provides comfort. For me, that's something that would like send me spiraling. but I do think that what you're getting at as far as like relationships and friendships, and I at the earlier in my career, which has not been very long, to be fair, I was like, proud to be like, most of my friends aren't actors. I'm, you know, most of my very, very close friends, they aren't actors. They aren't in the biz, which is a good thing. But as I've gotten deeper into my career, I've created more relationships with people like Lauren. And man, I don't know how I would do it otherwise. It's so hard. And my other friends who I love dearly and deeply, they just don't get it, even if they want to, and they could be there for you and they could, you know, be supportive, but they're not going to understand it. And I think having a support system within the industry is so, so, so important. And I think that it's, you know, like we're all going through it together.
Yes.
I just think that everything you said, like taking care of yourself mentally, is really, really important for being able to move forward and continue. So I think that's great that that's something that you are prioritizing for yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. Therapy has been the most helpful thing for me to kind of have that outlet, so I'm not dumping it on all my friends all the time. And then like sometimes in therapy, like I have someone who can, like, he doesn't understand the business, right? Mm-hmm. But he's able to help me with my anxiety, and that like, I suffer from really bad anxiety, and he's able to help me manage that and understand my triggers and things that I can do to let my thoughts out. I journal all the time, and when I'm very anxious, journaling is what I do, and it just feels so good to write down all of my fears. It's very weird, but like my journal is depressing. If you read it, you would think that I was just not in the great space. And not all the time, but a lot of the time my journaling is just letting out the anxiousness that I feel. This isn't going right. I'm failing. I haven't heard back from this audition. I haven't gotten any auditions. Like, it's those woes and those scary things. And I don't go back and I don't go back and read anything, but it allows me to kind of just write it out and get it out of me, because I don't always want to share that with my partner, and I don't always want to share that with my friends, and I can't keep it in my head, or otherwise I'll go nuts. And so writing it out and feeling safe to do so, because, you know, you don't want to say something to your friends and they're just like, girl, you are fine. You are doing X, Y, Z. And it's like, I know, but you know, like having that, having my journal is really helpful. And I learned that from therapy, and it has been really, really helpful with like just navigating all of these no's.
That's a beautiful tool to have. It reminds me, we had a guest on our podcast, Julie Tucker, the casting director, mm-hmm. who talked a lot about the artist's way and morning pages. Mm-hmm. And the process that you're describing reminds me a lot of that, where it's like you set aside time. It could be in the morning, it could be whenever, but you just like let all the garbage out of your head and you sit and you write for 20 minutes. And it's, yeah, it's something I always think about. I'm like, I should do that. That would be very good for me. And then there's always excuses like, oh, I don't want to get up 20 minutes, you know, away for 20 minutes. And but it's reminding me that writing is a really powerful tool to release these feelings. And it is, it can take a toll, you know, on your relationships if it is this kind of dumping of information. So it's great that you found another outlet to just express that. And this has been a really, I'm really glad we're having this conversation.
I know, so inspiring. I'm like, why don't I journal anymore? That's so awesome.
Yeah, these are definitely things I'm going to steal from our conversation and think about this week.
As well, our listeners, so valuable.
please do.
So actually, I have one final question. I know we're hitting an hour, but you mentioned having a vision board and kind of like projects or things that like aspirations for your next goals. I'm curious if there are any that you can share. Are there certain things kind of in your future kind of goals, that like the next show that you want to be on or the next person you want to work with?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So like my next goal, like immediate goal, is booking the series regular. I know that it's coming, and I've been very heartbreakingly close on quite a few projects. And I know that like it's coming. I've created some relationships with some really cool people. Grand Crew specifically has been, I'm so excited for that show to come out in January, but it's the ideal type of show for me in a way that I didn't know. I have always thought myself as like a very serious actor, and I do drama and I don't do comedy. And like, I'm very serious. And I kind of fell into it out here in LA. I did Insecure. I've never had any comedic training besides like Comedy Week and Matt Newton's studio. Even when I was in Anthony Abinson's class, it's all like I did Shakespeare. And even in college, like I just haven't really had any comedy training. And Insecure and Grand Crew were two things that were comedy, and Grand Crew is 1,000% all comedy. And I had so much fun. And I couldn't believe it. I did not want to leave the set at all. And the director, I've been so lucky to work with so many female directors in my career. I've worked with more female directors than male directors. I've been very lucky. And everybody was from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They had all worked together previously on that show or other shows. And it just, she was Melissa Flamero. She's a cast member in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and they, and she directed that episode that I worked on in Grand Crew. And it's just like shifted my thought process and like, what do you see yourself doing now? And I'm in my 30s now. So I'm like, this is crazy. This is exciting. Like, you still finding things that inspire you. Like, Grand Crew was a wonderful experience. Not only did I get to like play comedy for the first time besides Insecure, but I got to stand behind with Melissa and kind of see how directing goes. And I was with some of the writers and they allowed me to like, just like watch the scenes. And it was just this mind-blowing experience of like, this is what you want to do. You want to act, but you kind of also want to direct. And
wow, cool.
Yeah, it was something that I didn't know that I wanted to do. And it's really cool, so inspiring. Like, it's inspiring, like, finding these things out about myself. Everybody makes it seem like you're only going to find this stuff out when you're like 17, but no, like, we're still young and we're still learning like what we like and what we don't like. And life doesn't end when you turn 30 years old. It's actually like blossoming for me since I turned 30, and it's been great. So my vision is more comedic roles and eventually leading to directing, creating these relationships with people on these shows that I've started to have, and doing improv, and just pursuing that avenue next. And don't get me wrong, drama is still my bread and butter, but it's fun having something different, you know, that I didn't see for myself.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Also, welcome to the bright side. It's always a fun place to live.
So fun.
Yeah. And you are equally brilliant at both, because I've seen you do both, and it's just, it's amazing to watch. So I think that's really cool that you've been able to just play in both worlds and to book in both worlds. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be more opportunities for you in both worlds.
Thank you. We hope so.
And also really cool about directing. That's something I'm like excited to see where that goes next for you too.
Yeah. I didn't know I had that in me either until I was behind the camera and able to kind of stand there and learn and listen and have my own ideas in my head of what the scene could look like. I haven't had that. And it was really great. A really cool creative outlet of like, it was awesome. Yeah, Melissa's awesome as a director, and she was just really great. So can't thank her enough.
I would lose my mind if I was on set with Melissa Fumero. I'm obsessed with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was actually watching it last night.
Oh, that's so funny.
We have a joke that Alyssa and my husband, Eric, have the exact same taste in TV shows. Really, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of them. We also fall asleep to Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's so good.
So good. You guys will love Grand Crew. It's the same. Everyone is the same. Like, from the DP to the writers, like, everyone. It's the same type of, it's awesome. So
I cannot wait to watch.
Yeah, I'm so excited to watch, and I'm excited to watch you on Insecure as well. I'm just, you know, I'm really excited to follow your career. It sounds like you've been doing such amazing things, and I am certain that your series regular is coming, and then we will play this back for you and be like, listen to this episode. This is the time stamp. It happened.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, it was so amazing just talking to you and hearing your story and hearing your resilience and your passion and just like your intelligence and your talent. I mean, just, I'm so blown away by you and everything that you have been able to accomplish and will continue to accomplish. It's very impressive and very inspiring. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful experience talking about my journey and talking about it with Lauren, and like, her podcast is, y'all's podcast is amazing. And just like, the message that you all put into each and every one of your sessions about like literally positivity and creating art, it's it's great to have like this and hear other people's stories and keep doing what y'all are doing. And it's really helpful for people who need to hear that and hear other people talk about their journeys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing from you. You can email us at positivecreativitypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at positivecreativitypodcast. And for more info on our guest today, please view the show notes. Join us next time on Positive Creativity Podcast.